الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In continuing with our topic from last week, wherein we are talking about things that incline us towards sin, or the things that we can, and the advice that we get from both Imam Nawawi as well as Imam Ghazali on how to get to a better position in life through the letting go of sins. Because we have to understand, sins are those things that reduce the positive effects of Allah upon us. So for example, if I'm inclined towards sin, then I must not be sad that my child does not respect me. I must not become upset that my wife looks at me as a piece of scum. Sounds severe. If I commit sin, it must not surprise me that people, they will have the $100 in their hand, but they will not loan me $5, even though they don't need that $5. So once we have sin in our lives, and we have increased wrongful doings, then it becomes quite apparent that only when we let go of those given things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open given doors. Now, if any of this applies to us, it doesn't mean necessarily sometimes we are sinning, but for some individuals, it can be a test. Now, before we continue talking about that, and last week I was reading from the same book, but this morning, alhamdulillah, we did some ahadith, two or three of them, and these ahadith is by Imam Nawawi in Riyaz al-Salihin, chapter number 73, where he talks about good character. And under good character, he uses one ayah, وَالْكَاظِبِينَ الْغَيْضُ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that suppress your anger and take towards forgiving of people. وَالْكَاظِبِينَ الْغَيْضُ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And this ties into sin, by the way. This ties into sin. Because Imam Nawawi, as we know, he has a chapter of the title. Under the chapter, he uses an ayah of the Quran. And after he uses the ayah of the Quran, he uses a hadith that goes in line with that ayah as well as the chapter. So number one, he says, basically, suppress your anger and take towards forgiving of people. Because it is through the suppression of anger and pardoning of people will you be able to go to the next step of what? Giving up sins, giving up wrongful things. And by giving up wrongful things, we give up those blockers that come our way, whatever those blockers are: people accepting us, people loving us, etc., etc. So under the same chapter, a hadith is quoted wherein a sahabi said, I asked the Messenger of Allah about good deeds. What are good things? And the Prophet of Allah said, good deeds, number one, is good character. And number two, in the same hadith it mentions, and sin is that type of thing which creates doubt in your heart. It creates doubt. It creates restlessness. So when we feel restless, you know, sometimes I see a lot of young students here, and sometimes your eye may go over the other table when someone is taking an exam. You may not really see the answer on the other person's paper, and at that point in time, the teacher happens to look at you. Now imagine you're looking at someone and you just look away, and the teacher spots you looking at that person. And at that point, what are the thoughts? Some of you are smiling. What are the thoughts that goes through your mind? Well, I did not cheat, but I may become accused of cheating. Was it worth for me to look at that person's paper when I could have avoided looking at that person's paper? And all this restless ideas and thoughts starts going through your mind and your blood pressure begins to go up. According to the hadith of our Prophet ﷺ, you had no right to be looking at his paper to begin with or her paper to begin with. Your job is what? To do your exam and thereafter exit the room and move on with your life. So the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ is saying, that which creates doubt, that which creates anxiety in your heart regarding what you are taking part in. And thereafter the hadith continues by saying, and you dislike that people become aware of that given action. So let's say, for example, myself and Ali, we did something that is not too good in nature. And between ourselves, we argue, it doesn't matter what people say, it's between me and you. They live their life, I live my life. But would I want the entire public to know of what me and him did right over here today? Is it worth it? If the answer it is not worth it, chances are we did something wrong. Chances are we did something wrong. This is the standard we have to set regarding our interaction. If I go to my wife right now and I start talking bad about the wonderful Tunisian cook over here, I may have a justification for it. You know what? We got to teach him a lesson and we got to do this. Do I want the public to know of the discussion between myself and my wife regarding him? Do I want the public to know that? Only a madman will say yes, and I'm not mad. So obviously, the answer is no. So if I don't want the public to know about what me and him are discussing, or me and her are discussing regarding him, then that is the definition of a sin. So let go of that definition. Let go of that action. I repeat, let go of that action of me and her talking bad about him because we don't want the public to know about the discussion that me and her are taking part regarding him, because that is considered a sin. So once we have that definition of sin, you will notice most of our conversations will be constructed towards going on the next level. And what is the next level? The next level is talking that which will always take us close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another hadith before we continue with Ihya ul-Ulumuddin that we talked about this morning was that two things every human must monitor and take great care and consideration in. Number one, protecting their mouths. Protecting their mouth. And number two, protecting their body parts. Now, what does this mean? Protecting your mouth and protecting your body part. Not only the way in which we talk, the things in which we try to achieve through our mouth, which results in our body doing certain things thereafter. The Prophet of Allah is saying, that's something that should be monitored. So for our young ones, even for our elderly folks, sometimes we say things, we don't realize the consequences of it. But the things that we say eventually affects our hands, affects our eyes, affects the place we will go, affects the things we will do with other people. It all starts with what? According to this hadith, your mouth, thereafter your body. So once we do this, we monitor our mouth, the type of messages we send on texting, the types of places and comments we make on Facebook, the type of Snapchats that we reveal to people out there. It sometimes looks very innocent, but the outcome of that is devastating, which of course thereafter results in sin. So Imam Ghazali now talks about sin, and he talks about saints and sinning, saints and prophets and sinning. Now we don't think of saints, that means pious people, taking part in sins. religious people, because the definition of piety is consciousness. And consciousness means what? Being conscious at all times in helping ourselves refrain from what is wrong. So now when we say saints and prophets, we are not referring to them doing sins like you and I do. That means arguing about the definition of hadith and taking the wrong definition, or arguing about Quran and taking our own meaning that we wish from it, or whatever it may be. But the standards for them is much more greater than the standards for you and I. Now, regarding, for example, finding a spot over here, the essence of time, regarding Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and he starts this talking about Adam alayhi salam in this given section. And he says, when Adam alayhi salam, known to our guests as Adam, peace be upon him, the first prophet and the first person to be created, when he committed his sin, what was his first punishment? Well, he was told not to eat a certain fruit. And he went for that fruit and he ate it. Why? Because, of course, there is a desire in every human that we're going to live forever. We want to live forever. We want to live in comfort forever. That's human nature. And that is why many of us will run up a debt. We will take loans. We use credit cards beyond what is necessary. Why? We want to enjoy our given situation and we want to be happy. That's human nature. And or anyone that has depended on a credit card or has taken out loans, in the beginning it feels very, very good. But you know down the line, it comes back to haunt you. It comes back to bite you when you least expect it. And the more you look at that phone that you took on a loan, the more you look at that house that you took on a loan, you begin to, as you see the cell phone getting older, the house getting older, you say, why did I do it? Why did I do it? The other day, I was speaking to a couple, and the couple was saying, why did I take a $40,000 loan on my wedding? Just for these pictures to look beautiful, was it worth it? Was it worth it? So this is a reality. So Adam alayhi salam, likewise, I mean, he didn't want to leave heaven. So Satan said, consume the fruit. Now we're talking about punishment, right? And sinning. And when he ate the fruit, what was the first thing that happened? What was the first shame that came his way? The first shame that came his way was immodesty. The first shame that came his way was the ripping off of his clothes. That is why you'll notice when we take part in sin, the greater the sin that we take part in, the greater the exposing of one's body parts. We don't talk about it that way. That's exactly how it is. That's why it comes in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that towards the end of time, a person will be wearing clothes. However, it'll be as if they are naked. The entire body, you'll be able to design it out. That modesty will not be there. For our guests that are here, try to think of the clothing of Jesus, peace be upon him, known as Isa alayhi salam to us Muslims. The clothing of the Virgin Mary, peace be upon her. Or in modern times, Mother Teresa or the Pope. The clothing is pretty well covered. So this is not just an Islamic thing. It is a religious thing. So when a person sins, the first thing that takes place is exposure of body parts. And to the level that one sins, to that level, the body will be more and more exposed. And this was a punishment that was given to Adam alayhi salam and his beloved wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed this eventually. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change this? By them continually asking for forgiveness. Oh Allah, we have done wrong. If you don't forgive us, who is there to forgive us? If you don't forgive us, we'll be in total loss. So that's number one calamity that comes our way. Second, it is narrated that for 40 days an idol was worshipped in the house of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, known as Solomon, peace be upon him, was a very great prophet. And as our guests are noticing here, Muslims believe in pretty much all the prophets that you believe in, starting off with Adam, peace be upon him, all the way down to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. And in the house of Sulaiman alayhi salam, there was an idol that was being worshipped, not by Sulaiman alayhi salam, mind you, not by him, by whoever else. And because of that, Sulaiman alayhi salam himself was punished. So what does that tell us? Sometimes we say, it's our children. You know, they're living their life. They're doing what they are doing. And then you get up and you wonder, why I feel restless. I'm working so hard. I'm doing all these wonderful things. Why don't I get the contentment? Look at my wife. She's so wonderful. She goes to the blind society and helps people over there. Anybody's wife is helping the blind society? I don't know of it, please. I use blind society because I don't know of anybody helping at the blind society from the women folk here. So please take it easy on me. After Salah, don't go to the president, mashallah, he's back, and say, I think he was referring to my wife. I don't know your wife. I don't know who's in blind society. But you get the point. So you wonder, my family is doing all these wonderful things, but why is it that my children are not happy? I'm not happy. Everything just seems to be going downhill. Well, you learn from this beautiful story here of Sulaiman alayhi salam that there was an idol that was being worshipped in his house. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Sulaiman alayhi salam. My brothers and sisters, we are worshipping idols without even knowing it. We are worshipping people without even knowing it. Who's your idol? We all have an idol and we forget about it. Who are the people that you are thinking most about that are not prophets? Whose thoughts are coming to your mind besides Allah and the prophets and their way of life? Rest assured, if it is anybody over here, that's a type of shirk. That's a type of idol worship. If it is about that wonderful girl or boy in class, you just can't get your mind off. That is a type of shirk. If it is your son or daughter, just for some negative reason, you keep on having thoughts about them, not to drive them towards that which is good, but why doesn't my daughter give me money? Why doesn't my son do this for me? You are depending on another human. That is shirk. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, from his story we learn that, by the way, for our guest, shirk means idol worship. So idol worship in Islam is not just worshipping a statue. It's an idea that keeps on bombarding us beyond that which is necessary. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, in his house, that is what was taking place. So because of that, he was punished. In another relation, a woman sought justice from Sulaiman alayhi salam regarding a matter of a father. He promised to do justice. And later, he either forgot about it or he did not do something about it. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him to the point where he was restricted. And we'll talk about these restrictions right now. Number one, he fell into a disaster to the point where Sulaiman alayhi salam did not get food when he was hungry. Now, by the way, we are not putting down Sulaiman alayhi salam. We respect him. He's one of the greatest prophets. We have to respect him. And if we don't respect him as Muslims, we lose our faith. But because of the aspect of justice, how many times have you done injustice to people? Ask any man that's about 45, 50 plus. If inheritance came his way from the family, did he or she distribute it the way Allah wanted them to distribute it? You hurt someone else. Now you wonder why food is not digesting in yourself, in your stomach. People have all this acid reflex and this reflex and that reflex. How does it come your way? Yes, we call it a medical condition, but how did it happen? What makes it happen? We have a pharmacist here. Maybe we can speak to him later, mashallah. The point is, how does all these things happen? Yes, we can give a medical response, but we have to ask ourselves, whose food did I take away? Who did I try to hurt? Who did I try to put down? Whose pleasure? And who did I deprive from their pleasure? So Sulaiman alayhi salam went hungry for a long period of time. When he sought food by Allah by saying, give me food. I am, oh Allah, I am Sulaiman. I am the son of Dawood alayhi salam. You know, Dawood alayhi salam was a great prophet. He tried to say, I'm the son of Dawood alayhi salam. Many people think that he's the father of Dawood because he's so great, mashallah. This is how Allah gives positions to people. So he said, I am Sulaiman, son of Dawood alayhi salam. And thereafter he used to at one point say, people used to rebuke me, people used to beat me, people used to drive me out. Is this happening to the Muslim Ummah right now? Is it happening to us right now? Is it happening to people that we know right now? I wish I had time. I got text messages upon text messages that are saying, Imam, please ask the people in the audience to make dua. Today is Friday. Ask them to make dua for the people of Burma, for the people of Rohingya. Ask the people to make dua. How can I ask people to make dua when all of us are involved in this given sins ourselves? We like to ask for dua. Today is a day of reflection. Why are we dressing the way? Through Adam alayhi salam we learn. Why are our children exposing their bodies? Today we learn from Adam alayhi salam due to a sin we have made. Why is our food not getting digested? Why are we having food issues? Why are we having health issues? Why are people laughing at us? Why are people rebuking us? Why are people sending us pillar to post? Sulaiman alayhi salam says, I know the reason why. Because we are taking towards sin and we are relaxing as if we have the right to sin because God is most forgiving. Another story, and we'll end up with this. It is narrated that Musa alayhi salam once asked Khidr alayhi salam, why has Allah given you knowledge of the unseen? Why has Allah given you so... Remember, Musa alayhi salam is a prophet, a very, very great prophet. He is told to go to Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr, according to majority consensus, is not a prophet. Yet, his knowledge was great. A prophet is being sent to whom? A non-prophet for education, for learning. So those of us that think, because mashallah, I may wear a turban or I may have certain outer appearances that make me look greater than someone out there, it's not about your appearance. You cannot and I cannot get higher or even close to the dust of a prophet. Now, this prophet, Musa alayhi salam, a monument in the Quran, is being sent to who? Khidr alayhi salam. And he says to Khidr alayhi salam, why has Allah given you knowledge of the unseen? This great knowledge that sometimes is even surpassing me. And he says, forgiving up sins in order to incur the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he say? Forgiving up, not just giving up sins. Many of us give up sins. We give it up for whatever reason. Right? Because I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want people to find out. I don't want this. I don't want that. He said the following. Forgiving up sins and at the same time, in order to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I've become consistent in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this wonderful gift of the unseen. So inshallah, there is no time to continue further talking about this wonderful topic, practical topic. Inshallah, if we follow this few advices that is given to us, which makes sense, I'm sure, to each one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually, inshallah, will open our doors. Whatever those doors may be. For some it may be their sons getting out of a bad situation. For some it may be their daughters coming out of a negative, awkward situation. For others, it may be having a debt that is reduced. For others, it may be going back to the good old glorious days when people used to respect them and give them the good treatment that they wish. Now they can just wish for it. But in order for it to become a reality, the solution is between us. And the solution is within us and within our grasp. Simple. Adam alayhi salam, we talked about him. What did he do? Continual istighfar and changing his situation. Changing the way in which he carried out himself from there on. Looking at Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam didn't fight with Allah. He didn't fight with the people. He took it on upon himself by saying, "Oh Allah, there is something wrong that I have done. Oh Allah, I've allowed some wrong to take part in my environment. Oh Allah, forgive me." And that's where we look at Sulaiman alayhi salam in this magnificent way. Khidr alayhi salam was not a prophet. And Allah gave him this special gift. My brothers and sisters, each one can come and gain this special gift. Maybe not to that level, but definitely we can gain the gift of tranquility, the gift of peace, the gift of love, the gift of respect, the gift of having tranquility in our salah. And how can we attain this beautiful gift? As we have mentioned last week and this week, and through the hadith of Imam Nawawi, letting go of sin, and not just letting go of sin, but at the same time, letting go of those things that create this awkwardness in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.